In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. The topic for the second conference is suffering. Suffering is very much a part of our life as a result of original sin. The question, and it is the most important question, is how do we either accept it or reject it? What is our attitude towards suffering? The idea of suffering is very much associated with the Lent because we connect it with the sufferings of our Lord. Individuals over the thousands of years that man has been here have suffered greatly in many different ways. One only need to look back at history and see first the inhumanity of man toward other men. It's unbelievable what men will do to other men. Ultimately, though, it comes back to original sin, the fall of man. That's where our suffering began, and it will be there until the end of the world. There are those who can go through life and from a physical standpoint, perhaps they don't experience too much physical suffering. But as we all know, there are different types of suffering. Physical, spiritual, mental, psychological are the main ones that come to mind. And there are those who suffer greatly in all areas. As a Catholic, how do we accept suffering? Or perhaps the first question is, what is our attitude towards suffering? The easiest way to accept any suffering that is given to us is so simple that I think that most Catholics probably don't think about it, or not as much as they should. Most Catholics ought to have a crucifix in their home. Look upon the crucifix. Meditate upon our Lord's suffering. And understand that inasmuch as an individual suffers, and I'm not trying to minimize it at all, it doesn't compare with our Lord's suffering. You see this very plainly in the lives of the saints. Saint after saint after saint contemplated upon our Lord's suffering, his passion and death. And it brought into perspective their own suffering. Yes, it's true, it doesn't measure up at all. It is small in comparison. But the suffering is still there. And it is very real. Sometimes people will accuse someone else of a big imagination or faking the suffering. Of course, all those things do occur. But normally speaking, for those individuals who are suffering, and I mean to a greater degree, what is our attitude? You notice attitude comes up a lot in these meditations. And there's a reason for it. Because it determines whether or not we can accept these things with some sense of joy or drudgery. Basically, tear ourselves up interiorly, perhaps even cursing God because of your sufferings. We ought to be able to accept these things, at least to some extent, where we have an understand why, and the desire to do our very best to offer up any suffering that we have endured. And one thing that we should never do is to have this very strange idea of wanting to live another person's life. The individual of, oh, the grass is greener on the other side of the road. Until you get to the other side of the road and you find out that it is a very burnt, dried up brown. Realizing that, oh, what I perceive to be a happy, peaceful life was anything but a happy, peaceful life. This involves one's cross, but that topic will come later. What do we do with the suffering? How much are we willing to endure? Do we complain even within ourselves at the slightest headache? Now, I'm not minimizing migraines and severe sinus headaches or anything of that nature. I'm just giving a very simple example of something that is minor on the scale of suffering. Perhaps another example would be better. We prick our finger. You notice how the slightest of a needle prick for a moment causes the type of pain that it gets our attention right away. And yet, when we look at what men have endured, it's small in comparison. And one of the things that seems to be the case, I say this carefully, everybody has different levels of tolerance regarding pain and suffering. One of the things that we were taught as young friars in the seminary, I'm smiling because it happens so very often. You'd have members of the parish, different people that you know. How are you doing, brother? Fine. We were taught, always say fine. Don't give any other answer. Fine. You came to understand why you were told, you were taught to give that response. Because as religious, you have to learn to accept those days, like anyone else, when you don't feel too great. Whether it's a headache or maybe a cold or whatever it is that you're bothering. As we get older, our joint pain is there, stiffness, these things. So when we say fine, of course we were all young men then, so most of the time it was fine. But you would smile and say fine. Not meant to be a lie, in case anybody's wondering about this. It's just a matter of not revealing to those outside the community all of what goes on with the individual or the community. But we go back to the thought of suffering. How much are you willing to suffer for Christ? That's a big part of it. It should be at the very core of who we are as Christians, as Catholics. And the interesting thing about it is, we don't need to multiply our suffering. In other words, we don't need to do things that will increase our suffering. Because as a matter of course, in our lives, there's plenty of it. We're really good at creating suffering for ourselves and at times others. How many times have you heard me talk about poor judgments and bad decisions that either may change something for a day or two, or it may change the entire course of your life? And as a result, there's a lot of suffering that we must endure because of our decisions. And you look around, you see the world, boy, there's a lot of suffering. All types of suffering. But the thought of suffering for us needs to go back to Calvary. That's what centers us. That is what brings it all into perspective. What am I willing to do for Christ? How much am I willing to suffer? Holy Mother Church, during the season of Advent, by law, only requires a fasting and abstaining. But it also encourages Catholics to do more. How much more, they leave it up to the individual, because everyone's different. There are some who are willing to do only a little. I'll give up that candy bar, or I'll give up that dessert, but I won't do any more. And they wonder why they spend a life of stupidity, apathy, mediocrity, because they weren't willing to give up themselves. And then the individual whom, from my standpoint as a clergy, you have to pull the reins in, because they want to go out and, at least in a spiritual sense, put themselves on the cross. The ideal is great. The reality for most, too much. It's like the individual who wants to do a 40-day black fast, or the individual who wants to perform the discipline on themselves to the point of blood. For anyone who doesn't know what the discipline is, you're whipping yourself. And people say, and they... The spiritual director is going to say no. No. You see, for those saints in the past who did these things, you can be sure that there was a spiritual director watching and understanding that that individual was given an extraordinary grace to be able to do this over time. You notice even in the life of Saint Francis, his true conversion began in his mid-20s. Yes, he was raised Catholic, but the true conversion began at that time. And it was, and during those next number of years, he worked to perfect himself in virtue, wanting to imitate Christ's life. It was only 2 years before he died that he was given the stigmata, because he wanted to imitate the suffering of Christ in as much as was possible. And it would seem as though he only lived for 2 years because of the loss of blood and therefore the weakening of the body. At the end, he had to be carried on a stretcher because his body was so weak. And yet he endured it with great joy. Great joy. For ourselves, in our everyday lives, it's a question that ought to be there with some regularity. As we get older, we have our different aches and pains and illnesses and diseases. It's in the forefront of our minds. You're very, very much faced with your mortality right in front of you. Realizing that these things have been given to me, whether it's my fault or not. God has given these things to me so that I may suffer in this life. Now, God will at times give an individual something of this nature because, as a punishment. And sometimes it's just fallen nature that's there. But suffering is extraordinarily important from the standpoint of keeping ourselves in such a spiritual balance that we come to understand that it's going to be there. How are we going to accept it? It's the individual who has a wrong attitude, wrong understanding, who will put his hands up, look up to heaven and say, "Why me, God? What did I ever do? Why am I enduring all of this?" Not realizing that there is a saying. I don't know the origin of it, but it's a very appropriate saying. God chastises those whom he loves. He allows individuals whom he loves to suffer. That doesn't mean that life needs to be negative, dark, morose, or anything of that nature. I just gave you the example of Saint Francis. And there have been many other saints. In the midst of their great suffering, they were joyful. Another one that comes to mind is Saint Lawrence, the first deacon in the church, during the time of the Roman persecutions. The Romans had no problem in putting every Christian they come across to death. And in his case, they put him on a grill. Basically, one wanted to burn him to death on over a fire. So he'd been on the grill for a few minutes. And he says, "Well, I'm done on this side. Turn me over." Sounds like a very strange comment to make in the midst of a martyrdom, does it? But you see, the man was filled with the Holy Ghost and truly suffered with great joy. And one of the things that we need to be careful about is thinking that I could never do that. Maybe God won't give you the grace, but it also may mean your salvation. And the fact is that there have been many men and women, even children at times, who have been able to endure great suffering, even though they thought that would never happen. St. Thomas More, while he was in prison, thought that he would never be called upon to give his life. And yet he did. You look at some of the details of some of these saints, and it gives you a very different perspective than the biography that's read, and it makes it as though it looks at this saint's life was just one long Shangri-La, one happy paradise on this earth, which is far from the truth. They were able to become saints because they accepted the grace which they were given. They were able to accept any and all suffering, whatever it is that came. If we think about this enough, we pray upon this, and yes, spiritual reading is always recommended regarding suffering. you might be surprised at what you're able to accomplish. Not for the sake of accomplishment, but for the sake of increasing sanctity in one's life. Because if we're happy with mediocre, tepidity, apathy, go along to get along, that's not the road to heaven. There's no such thing as a mediocre saint in heaven. There's plenty of mediocrity on this earth, and there's probably a lot of mediocrity that ended up in hell. Because we're called upon to be saints. And not just little saints, but in our own way, great saints who understand the very concept of what it means to suffer. Suffer for God, for the love of God. Amen.